Oh, what are you doing? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Either you are, or I'll be skipping rope with your entrails. Ta-ta.
This podcast is brought to you by our patrons at patreon.com/Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play. Welcome to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, the podcast where we explore the amazing universe of the Elder Scrolls. Adventurers! We are back. It's me, Tom, or Robots. It's Lotus, also here with me as well. And we're talking about Daedric creatures again.
We are. We're back to the Daedric minions.
Daedric, man, can you imagine a minions like cartoon, but instead they're Daedra?
All right.
You know, like DreamWorks, like minions, yeah, like the little yellow guys.
Do they speak or do they just make those honk sounds?
I guess it depends on the Daedra. What if they're all like terrible looking monsters, but they all have cute little voices?
Okay. Yeah. So like the Daedric Titan just sounds like a SpongeBob.
Yeah. They make this.
You ever play Banjo-Kazooie?
Yes.
The like garble talk where everything was like everything. So all of the Daedric minions sound like one of those various creatures. Perfect.
Yes.
It's great.
It's even more terrifying, even though you think it might be cute. It's not.
No.
Welcome back to the show.
Deeply unsettling.
Yes. We've got four more Daedric creatures to discuss in this episode, one of which is kind of a bigger topic, and the other three are smaller. And Lotus, let's get into this. We've been going through alphabetically. We're up to E, which means we are discussing elemental Daedra. This means Atronach and other kinds of, you know, fire Daedra and frost Daedra and things like that.
Yeah.
I really like these. I think these are really cool, and the way the designs have evolved over time look awesome. What's your take on elemental Daedra?
This is one of my favorite things from the series, actually. These are some of my favorite enemies, just some of my favorite creatures in the Elder Scrolls as a series as a whole. I agree with you. I really am almost just as amused by the shifting of like how they look and how they act. Like they change over the games, because the older games always have a slightly different feel. The newer games, they're definitely more bestial, whereas the older games, not as much in some situations. Specifically, I want to touch on the Battle Spire ones, which are really strange.
Well, here, let's go into this. I mean, there's not a whole lot to say other than they are conjured. They're kind of these like magical spirits. They're not necessarily stuck to any specific Daedric lord. Basically, if you're a powerful enough wizard, like you can do in the games, you can conjure up one of these things to fight for you. And like, you see them all over the place. They're very common. But here, I'm going to put up on screen, and this is directly from the UESP. I'm just pulling up the pages today. I don't have individual images because I want to show everybody. If you're listening to the audio version, we'll do the best we can to explain this. If you're here for the live stream, thank you for being here. And if you want to look up the video in the future, this is on the Elder Scrolls Lorecast YouTube channel. But check this out. We're going to go through each one. You've got Air Daedra, so Air Atronach, we should say. And most of these are newer. These are all ESO pictures, and they're pretty cool. These are the guys with like multiple arms that are kind of just floating blocks of
They weren't
rock.
Really too much of a thing before ESO. The air element itself wasn't really, but you can, I mean, we'll go into it in a second, but they look like a slightly different version of like Storm Atronach type of deal, but we'll get into that in a second.
Right. And so here, let's jump over to Storm Atronach, because that's kind of similar here. Storm Atronach, these go all the way back to Morrowind, and again, look like these clumps of like floating rocks with some sort of magic, or in some cases a fire or electric effect or a wind effect. So very similar.
Yeah, they tend to have a lot of lightning tends to be tied in with these things. And like it almost, because again, it the storm aspect, it was sort of more a wind slash lightning thing. And then now that air Atronachs are also a thing, they kind of almost split the focus a little bit so that they're each their own thing. Like storm Atronachs almost became like rock and lightning Atronachs.
Right.
And air Atronachs almost became the wind element to it type of deal.
Yeah, but it would be tough to make just something designed with just air because it's mostly transparent. So they got to add the other elements on that. So that's those guys. Then we have flame Atronachs. I think these are probably some of the most popular. And
gee, I wonder why.
Nobody likes fire magic in video games.
Nobody likes fire magic, and nobody likes the new design with their shape.
Yeah, the sexy lady ballet dancer.
Yeah, sexy fire lady. Yeah, that definitely doesn't go over well in the nerd community at all.
Right,
dripping with sarcasm is that statement.
Totally. They go all the way back to Daggerfall, and you can see them here
on
the screen.
They've been around for a while.
And the Daggerfall ones and the Battlespire one look more like people on fire.
Yes.
Let's just call them that.
Very much so. That one has changed quite a bit over the years, actually. There's been a lot of variety on how that one has shifted. The other thing is, and we'll touch on the other side of it in just a second. The Battlespire specifically has like, it's almost like a suit of armor acting as a person with the element coming out of it more than the element itself being the thing. If that makes sense. It's kind of hard to explain, but it's
Well, the same way that like there's rocks,
the creature.
It's like there needs to be something physical for these. So usually it's like rocks or some sort of carved piece of something. But in the case of that type of Battlespire version, it's a suit. It's like a armored suit that's inhabited by this spirit of fire. You can describe it like that.
Yes. And that's been one of the renditions, and then it shifted more. This one has shifted quite a bit, as you can tell from the photos. Daggerfall, it kind of just was like a fire golem thing. And then, there was a difference between an Atronach and a Daedra as well. Mm-hmm. And they kind of just merged a bit more.
The flame Atronach shows up in Morrowind. Again, it switches name from fire to flame, but basically means the same thing. And this guy's a little bit more transparent, and he's got kind of that glowy Morrowind way they did fire, which looks more like just a visual light blob and less like a flame.
Less like a Old flame, tech. More of a just like a sun flare.
Yeah. And then you've got Oblivion, which looked more like kind of went back to that suit of armor on fire kind of thing with almost like a magma-like skin.
It started to get its voluptuous lady shape.
Yeah, this one became very, very lady-shaped as opposed to these more masculine shapes. And then you get to Skyrim with the one that most of us are familiar with, which is a really cool design.
I like to see the difference in that. And it is interesting that they've kind of, and ESO is very similar to Skyrim as well. Yeah. I like that they kind of each take on a very unique form over time. As opposed to, like we said, this dude's on fire and this creature thing is on fire.
Is on fire.
Oh, what have I done?
No.
But, and then again, the difference between like the fire Daedra or the flame Daedra and a fire Atronach and a flame Daedra. And then it just kind of got mushed into like, now it's just kind of an Atronach. That's just our thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And the newest ones, the Skyrim and ESO ones tend to have kind of this, it's less like rock or metal. It's more like pieces of lava, like
it's parts like pieces of magma, like
magma
forming
hardened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then into the armor parts.
Right. Right. And then you got the shape of like, the horns and then the missing places, like half of the face is there, but the rest isn't. Like that's a really cool design. So let's move on. We've got a bunch to cover. We've got Frost Atronachs are next.
Yes.
And this is ice or frost. And again, this goes all the way back to Daggerfall.
because again, they had Ice Atronach and then they had Frost Daedra, which it's like very similar. These two are going to have a lot of parallels where it's just like you could tell that it was like, okay, there's two different types. And then over time, it became squished into one because the Frost Daedra from Battlespire actually pretty much the exact, well, not even pretty much. They're the same model, except blue and white instead of orange and white. Like, they've got them in different stances on the UESP.
Yeah.
But that's basically just
one's walking and one's standing.
This is the like, yeah. But it's the same model. Like, it's just, it changed what color the flame was coming out of it, the inside.
Right. And these have kind of more of a, like, the older ones have more of this, like, cold flame thing going.
Yes.
And then you have the transition in Morrowind to what seems to be a grumpy ice golem kind of thing
with derpy ice golem
with little spikes poking out of it. And then we get Oblivion, which transitions more into this almost like this giant kind of shape, you know, large bulky arms and legs and the the spiky head. And then you get the Skyrim one, which lends itself in more into the rest of ESO and everything else that came.
It essentially starts to become an ice sculpture. Like
a big ice golem. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Which, so not getting too far out of this, because it's one thing that does tie in between the flame versions of these and the ice versions. These creatures don't really talk. They make grunt sounds. They're like beasts type of thing in game.
Mm-hmm.
Except in Battlespire, once again, because everything seems to be an exception when it comes to Battlespire.
Everything talks in Battlespire.
If you got a high enough chat skill and can speak their language. So the Frost and Fire Daedra, again, kind of are, they're straight up sentient and they just sort of talk to you. Like they will chat it up with you. They get annoyed with you during one of the quests because you actually pick one side or the other for a specific quest, where basically the other side gets the short end of a hunting competition based on who wins. Mm-hmm. So you go with the Flame Atronach or that game specifically, it's the Fire Daedra or the Frost Daedra. And like, they get annoyed with you, and some of them end up being your friends, and they're like, "Oh yeah, this is so bad. This mortal helped us out." And other ones are like, "I can't believe you did this. What have you done? Now I'm shorthanded for the next thing." And just like everything, they have like snarky accents to them and stuff like that. I'm kind of glad they ditched that personally.
I mean, it's fun when it happens with like some of the more intelligent species of Daedra to hear that perspective and stuff. So you can see like the core, the seed of that. In Battlespire.
Yeah, yeah,
but
for
then
sure.
For these to be more of just like magical elemental spirit type creatures and then have
They kind of become an embodiment of an element later on, which I think is a better direction.
Yeah. Speaking
Atronach.
Of embodiment of elements, we have Daggerfall with the Iron Atronach, and then that doesn't come back again until ESO.
Yeah, it's gone for a long time, which honestly, when we got Iron Atronach, a lot of people were like, "Oh, they're just going to make Atronach for everything." And it was like,
no.
Daggerfall actually had one.
Yeah. Yeah. And it looks like
it was unused for many games.
Right. It looks like a kind of a, again, an iron shaped man who walks around, very similar to the ice shaped man or the fire shaped man. Right. Same kind of thing. But then in ESO, we get the Iron Atronach. I'm pretty sure everybody's fought one of these in ESO.
Yes, the boss quite frequently of different types. And it's basically if you took a Flame Atronach and an Ice Atronach and
cooled it down
them together.
Like with just a fire core.
Well, yeah, because it's like, okay, well, this has got the chunky style of Gollum.
Yeah, like the ice one.
Like the ice one.
Right.
But it's built of these magma chunks and like, I'm assuming iron chunks. With the molten core that looks like how the new Flame Atronachs are designed.
Yeah.
So
yeah, so that I think this one looks cool. And then we get Shadow Atronach, which the only example on the UASP is actually a mount.
Yeah, I don't know about that one.
Shadow, like this feels like one where they're like, we need a cool looking shadow mount, so let's just make this
up. That one's a little weird. And there's very little on
Yeah, not so, much info on that one. But then
really
we get
fleshed out yet.
Stone Atronach. This is another ESO one, and I can see why people are saying like, "Oh, they just make an Atronach for everything." These are really cool. They're almost like crabs with gigantic pillars for arms, and they're mostly stone with just a, like a little fire core. And sometimes the big pillar parts look like they're carved from like columns of a building or something.
Yeah, some of the ones that look that are bosses literally look like carved statues, almost like, you know, like a pillar to holding up a building, and that becomes its legs. Those things are pretty neat, and you know, similar to the other Storm Atronachs, the rock pieces just kind of float by each other in just like a crab shape instead of a golem shape in this case, but like they float outside each other rather than being connected like fire ones or frost ones or anything like that.
Right. I really like those. And then, of course, the storm one we already went over. And then there's some other varieties that show up. The cold flame Atronach.
Yeah, which is just a flame Atronach.
Right. And then there's the lava Atronach, which again is kind of like a blue and red fire Atronach. And then some other mounts like the cold flame wolf or the frost cinch panther, which they've done over the years. They've done all these different mounts with different like kinds of elemental effects and those kinds of things.
Yes, and that's the thing is they have these kind of standardized shapes that have shifted over time, but when it comes to Elder Scrolls Online and like the customization and pretty stuff that everybody likes, they basically allowed these Atronachs to take different shapes as well. So there'll be like a flame Atronach mount that looks like a wolf, that looks like a camel, that
or a
looks
guar.
Like a guar. Yeah. It looks like so it, the idea is the same, but essentially based on that theory, I guess you can just say they all sort of shape-shift, like you can shift them, which I guess you can kind of even have like, well, they've already shifted so much how they look throughout the series. Does it really seem like that big of a stretch that they shift and then look like other creatures as well? I mean, sure, whatever.
Well, if it's some sort of like conjured fire, like Daedric spirit in the form of like a flame or in the form of an ice thing, like it makes sense that you'd be able to like, shape it how you want.
Exactly. So yeah, that's something that sort of worth at least mentioning. They can have
we're keeping
shapes.
Lotus up late tonight.
It's
all of 9:26 p.m.
yeah. It's just kind of interesting that they kind of lost their specific per game look, and now it's like, well, yeah, it could be any of these as well. So, you know, just there's other versions of how they could look. And then there's kind of like the default version of it.
Right. I get the meta justification, but it also feels like a real in-world justification. It feels like those two things can align.
No, I mean, so it seems like it could work. I mean, that's fine.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's the elemental Daedra. We have three more Daedra to get to, and that was the big one. So these three will be quicker, but that will be after we get back from the mid-break because we got to go thank our patrons, so don't go anywhere.
It's that time. Holiday shopping is here, and I've got something to help you out. Uncommon Goods takes the stress out of gifting with thousands of unique, high-quality finds you won't see anywhere else. And that's legit. How many different stores can you find exactly the same products and you just are shopping for whoever has the best deal? No, this is a place that has high-quality, unique, often handmade or made in the US products by independent artists and small businesses that truly create one-of-a-kind gifts for all sorts of different seasons, and it's the holiday season. Well, get this. I found one that I thought was super cool. Now, my wife loves puzzles. She loves mysteries. She loves escape rooms. They have murder mystery jigsaw puzzles where you use the puzzle to solve the mystery. There's a few of these, and I think I might pick up the clairvoyant convention one. I think she'll love it. And that's just one example. They've got gifts for moms and teens, book lovers, history buffs, diehard football fans, foodies, mixologists, gardeners. There's something here for everybody on your gift list. And they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice with every purchase. They've donated more than $3.1 million to date. So don't wait. Cross those names off your list before the rush. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/scrollslore. That's uncommongoods.com/scrollslore for 15% off. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
This is Hamish Morak.
Dragonborn. You are educating yourself to the Elder Scrolls lore cast.
All right, here we are in the middle of the show, and this is where we get to thank our patrons, including our newest patron, Leafessa. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. And also, thank you to Mike M for upgrading to a tier 4 patron. You're going to be
also
able to...
Hi, Leaf.
Hi, Leaf. Mike, you're going to be able to join us on the chat at the end of the month, which is coming up in a few weeks, 2 weeks from this recording date. We're recording this on the 14th, so that'll be the 28th, and look forward to chatting with you. Also, big shout outs to all of our patrons, all 129 of our current patrons, including our Daedric Princes, Kirisi and Sheogorath Sweetroll. Thank you for your support, and thank you for being here and part of this community and making this thing actually happen. It's all because of the people who support the show, so thank you for that. Also, another way to support the show is to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. If you leave a 5-star review, we'll read it out on a future episode of the show. We don't have any new ones to read out this week, but if you leave one, we might read it out next week. And another way to do that is to rate the show on Spotify or whatever podcast you're listening to this on. Tell your friends, come join our YouTube channel videos, watch us, you know, be part of the live stream on Twitch, twitch.tv/robotsradio. Lots of different ways to help us out, and we couldn't do it without you, so thank you so much. All right, let's move on with the rest of the show.
You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, dear child of Sithis. That is why the Night Mother loves you.
So, Lotus, I feel like some significant percentage of Daedra look like bugs.
Yes, not false. Not a false statement.
Not a false statement.
Not a false statement
so
at all.
The next one on the list alphabetically is the Fiendroth. And according to the UESP, the Fiendroths are small blue Daedric pests commonly found wherever Daedric influences persist. They resemble hulking armored insects with very short antennae. Fiendroths possess steel mandibles and a venomous stinger, and purportedly rely upon the agonized cries of mortals for sustenance. Wow.
All right. That seems hostile.
That sounds horrific. Like, I'm hungry. I need to go torture people. And if this was in Daggerfall, they would talk and they would say that.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Or Battlespire, that have the British accent to go along with it. Absolutely.
Right. But this one only shows up in ESO, and here, take a look. That's a handsome fellow. If you saw that in your house at night, you would burn the house down, I think.
No, they're very wholesome. Very wholesome. And the steel pincers, the mandibles really just bring it all together. Could you imagine getting a nice hug from one of those things?
Oh my God, it would never let
right
go. Or it would
ankle.
Just chop your ankle off. Like,
yeah, just right on the ankle.
Yeah, and then the plates on its back make it look like just hard rock or metal. And then
you wouldn't even be able to like step on it.
No.
Like, to defend. It's like, oh no. Man, I got to step on this horrible nightmare creature.
Yeah, you couldn't even ride on it because the little pokey things on his back would just go right up your butt. And then
yeah, and also, I mean, I assume they're not, they don't seem to be overly large. I would be like trying to ride a corgi.
Like a small dog, yeah.
But yeah, I was going to say, I don't think Boots could like carry me around the house. It's not,
I think
our best, but I don't think that would work.
From what I understand about insects in the real world, insects are the largest in places like Africa or Australia. I don't know if any of our listeners from either of those locations can attest to having to step on giant insects, but this is still bigger than any insect I'm familiar with in our own world, and also steel mandibles, and it feeds on the suffering of mortals.
Yeah, so it almost sounds like a beetle form of those Japanese forest hornets that exist in real life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If you want nightmares, look those up because those are real.
Yeah. So, okay. So that's the Fiendroth. Not a whole lot else about them other than just like, hey, man, if you insects give you the heebie-jeebies, then oof.
They're really honestly like they're just an ESO, correctly. Yeah. They're just an ESO, which seems like it's tech. And honestly, like you really don't see much of them there either. They're just it's kind of like a background thing that just fills out the environment more than anything you specifically interact with very much. Like these other things, you fight them, you conjure them. These ones, it's like, yeah, it's on that bookshelf. giving you the side eye.
Yeah, or you just got into Daedric Realm somewhere and these things are just crawling all over the ground.
It's like this thing fell out of a box in Cold Harbor, so.
Yeah, right. Can you imagine? Okay, I'm putting this back up on the screen again. Can you imagine in the future a brood mother kind of version of these that little guys come out of, that's the size of like a bus or something?
I don't like that. And on top of that, some of the new horrible beasties that they've been creating in Elder Scrolls Online, some of the Daedric Realms, I feel like if you modified how they looked a little bit, you could end up with like one of those brood mothers or one of these things. And yeah. I don't think I would appreciate that.
Yeah. Yep. Seems like,
personally,
like a potential for the future. ESO, ZeniMax, if you're listening, make some more creepy giant bugs. That'd be fun.
Wink.
Wink, wink. All right, let's move on to the next one. This one, we're going back to elements a little bit. This one is the Fire Daemon, not Fire Daedra, Fire Daemon, D-A-E-M-O-N. This goes, we're going way back in time because check this image out.
Yeah, there it is.
That's as big as it is. Like, I'm not going to, well, here, maybe we can zoom in the browser. There we go. Look at all 44 pixels of that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's arena for you right there.
Yeah, this is an arena monster. It
sure is.
Looks like a devil that walks around and has some sort of weird looking axe.
It's sort of like a Daedroth carrying an axe, and he's got, so in game, he kind of has like little fire sparkles around him.
Fire sparkles,
if I remember
correctly.
That makes
it cute.
Yeah, so you do definitely, like, I remember bumping into this thing and I was like, a fire daemon, what is this? And if I remember correctly, it beat the crap out of me and killed me because it's arena and everything basically does that to you. Mm-hmm. But they were pretty uncommon even in arena. You ran into them pretty late game. I didn't run into an awful lot of them, but it's just like, yeah, he's kind of just... kind of looks like a kangaroo with an axe. All right, that's another
a really vicious evil kangaroo. Well, here's the description according to the UESP. Fire daemons are creatures from the netherworld. That's a phrase you don't hear in modern Elder Scrolls games.
Sure don't. The elusive Minecraft crossover.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think that just basically means some realm of Oblivion.
Yeah,
this is before they defined any of that stuff.
It was
stuff,
definitely
right?
Before this was defined, because he's dropped off the face of the planet.
Yeah. It goes on and says, often gating themselves into Mundus on some errand of their choosing. They are dangerous foes, highly intelligent, completely chaotic in nature, and powerful in the ways of magic. Almost said the Force, because there's been a lot of Star Wars stuff lately. They are resistant to fire and possess the ability to see invisible entities. They could possibly be considered a variation of doppelganger. This is the interesting part, as they have the ability to transmogrify into the shape of others. So,
very weird.
Which came first, the chicken or the egg? Are these things the natural form of like a doppelganger? Or are these things a thing? And they can choose to take the form of this thing, but they can also choose to take the form of other things.
I was going
to
say, I feel like that's almost funny by adding that little bit. It's like, so do these things even exist? Are these actually just doppelgangers, period?
Right.
And they're just like, you know what? I want to look like a kangaroo with an axe that has little fire feet.
Yeah, watch out, everybody. Like, I'm 44 pixels of kangaroo evil.
Fury, yep. And I got all seven of these animations.
What if that makes them even scarier, is if they actually move at low frame rate in real life.
So it just looks like a horror movie. It's like that jittery effect.
Yeah.
And it's just like, man, that's all the frames I could conjure.
Oh my God. That's even more terrifying.
When I made it to the Mundus, I ran kind of low on magicka. All that I could conjure up was seven frames of movement.
It's just seven frames per second. That's it. But it's even scarier because of it. All right. So one more. We've got one more to cover. The Gloam Knight. These are cool. Gloam Knights are harrowing reapers, are wraith-like Daedra who are incapable of feeling sympathy. Sounds like some bosses I've worked for. They are embodiments of hate and mystery and are sometimes referred to as Shadows of Nocturnal. They can often be found serving the Daedric Prince of Shadows. They can have two 2-6 arms, Sometimes mortals can be transformed into them. These are only found in ESO. Check out the picture. You know how we were talking about how like Storm Atronachs can have like multiple arms?
Yeah.
And they're mostly like a torso with a head that float. These are similar in that way. That you've, but they've got like the purple, like nocturnal kind of magic-y thing going on. Really evil looking faces with horns and like a hood, a bunch of spikes coming off their backs, like they're all trying to be Gul'dan like from World of Warcraft.
Atronach is where this really belongs.
The
nocturnal tie-in definitely makes sense. They really just look like makeshift nightmare creatures. Is really just. That's just dark and menacing.
There's kind of similar to some of the other specter and ghost-like creatures.
It's got a very strong tie to a lot of the specter creatures type of thing. They do make a fun boss, just because they're in a few of the, well, they're specifically at the end of one of the new trials. This creature in general, and I just find that boss fight to be a lot of fun. That's really kind of inside baseball, but that's where it's like,
yeah, no, that's cool.
Most common use type of thing, at least that I can come up with. And then there's smaller ones, bigger ones, and all that stuff. But they're a cool enemy, but they're also so elaborate and constructed in like being evil. They give me a little more of an MMO tropey type of feel, if that makes sense. It's kind of hard to describe exactly what I mean, but it's just kind of like, yeah, we need a big bad for a like a boss.
Yeah, so let's take a specter, let's make it more demonic looking, let's give it extra weird arms, let's make it glow purple, let's give it crazy horns that come off of its back for some reason.
Right.
This is scary. Cool. Let's go with it.
Yeah, exactly. This is scary. This is unsettling.
Right. You wouldn't want to shake hands with this.
But then again, like, it could also be the way we looked at the way things have progressed throughout the series. All the way back to Arena and Daggerfall, there were constant specters and ghosts and stuff like that. And some of them sort of resembled like smaller versions of this, especially like in Arena, that was semi-frequent, Daggerfall as well, where it'll just be like this black ghosty shape, like it's like a misty shape, and it's just got red eyes. And back then you could only hurt it with like magic enchanted things, or if it was like above a certain quality material, like, oh well, this is mithril or
silver,
you know,
Oblivion, silver, Daedric, right? It's like
whatever.
An important thing, yeah,
right, then you could hurt it. But it almost like I could see them, it doesn't specifically say this, just I mean in a design choice way, I can see like the progression of like, okay, well, it's like those aren't as common in the series anymore, instead we get this thing. So it could almost be, even though it's not a direct connection, it's one of those things, well, it morphed into being something else because it's something we've seen a lot in the series. Something no longer exists, but now this form of it exists, or you know, it's stuck around and it's changed shapes and stuff like that. So this almost could be made up of other things that are no longer in the series as well. It could have been like the, I don't know, progenitors for how this thing was created.
Right. Yeah. And we talk about ghosts and things like that pretty regularly on this podcast as these kinds of things come up in storylines or different locations or whatever.
I was going to say, they're giving you quests in some situations because they're passive. Some are just like your evil spirit thingies. Yeah, for sure. There's a whole place called the Soul Cairn.
Right. Yeah. I would love...
They're not uncommon.
I would love in future ESO updates or the next Elder Scrolls game, which is now like further along because they've put out Starfield...
In pre-production.
Yeah. So like,
they have a whiteboard.
You know, the way we get like Molag Bal and vampires or Hersine and werewolves. Right. And you have this kind of thing. I would love a little bit more of a direct connection between some Daedric prince and corrupted souls or spirits that turn into these like spooky monsters. Like how do you make a Gloam Knight, right? Like this seems like it might have been somebody who was corrupted, almost like a ring wraith sort of thing.
Sure. And it's already got the tie into Nocturnal, and she's less nefarious than some of the Daedric princes, like just outright like, haha, time to just do horrific things. And it's
Well, what about the connection to the void? And like we had the whole series of episodes about the void and Nocturnal and some of these other things that are going on, like the spirit of Sithis and like all of that.
Exactly. Yeah.
It would be like, really cool to have some sort of revelation for like what, why are they collecting all of these souls? What are they actually doing with them? And can you have your soul taken from you? Almost like a Buffy the Vampire, like sort of thing, you know, where like, a vampire soul is removed, but then it gets reimplanted in a vampire. And then you end up with, you know, that kind of situation. But like, could you have individuals who are like soulless? I mean, like you've got your character in ESO, which is kind of the Vestige is kind of that.
The Vestige is. Yeah. I was going to say that's kind of you.
Right.
Yeah.
So what are they now doing? Like maybe they're taking the souls out of people, leaving vestiges or whatever. And then what are they doing with the souls? Do you end up with these like corrupted versions that turn into things like Gloam Knights and some of these evil spirits?
Sort of done some stuff with that because you have the soul Shriven.
Yeah.
In Cold Harbor.
Yep.
That's kind of just like those little like husks of people.
Right. But and what about the soul part?
Right. Like what do they do with the soul bit?
Right.
Now they're soul shriven.
Right.
And on the other side of that aspect, and they were kind of just fleshed out and they weren't, we also have all sorts of apocrypha beasties and stuff like that. But one of the newer things that we saw with Necrom when you go to Apocrypha this year, is these things called the Hushed, where they basically were just so enthralled and lost into the tomes and lost amongst the stacks of knowledge and stuff like that, they get the crazies and they kind of just lose their existence.
They lose themselves.
These,
right.
Yeah. And they become these horrific little abominations. It's like, okay, well, okay. They're clearly whacked out, but like, is there more to them that becomes something else? Like, yeah, it's an interesting idea since souls in the Elder Scrolls are essentially tangible things in some regard because you can fill soul gems with them and stuff like that. And not turning this into a complete like soul based topic. They're kind of like, there's a lot of situations where these souls, obviously they leave the thing that they were taken out of. So you have like vestiges, soul shriven, blah, 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 blah.
Right. Right.
And when you're putting them in soul gems, even when you use the soul gems, there's the idea that it's not totally destroyed. So you have this little essence of the thing, which is super messed up as well. But
right,
it's like,
right. Okay, yeah. Black soul gems with a, like that, the consciousness of the soul might still be in there somewhere.
Like, right. Ugh. So it's like, yeah, there's some really dark stuff that you can deal with, in the series, especially, you know, when it's getting traded around because you have the, oh my God, the Ideal Masters, I must call them Eternal Masters. The Ideal Masters from
Maternal
like,
Masters. They're called grandmas.
The grandma. The Ideal Masters essentially like trade in souls and stuff like that in the Soul Cairn. So there's a lot of potential for how are these things actually created?
Yeah, or like a spirit army. You know, like what if somebody like Nocturnal, who's usually not invading, you know, Mundus, like some of the other Daedra princes, decide, you know what? I've had it with Molag Bal, and I'm just going to take all of these souls that I've gathered over time, embody them in some sort of Daedric form, and now you've got the massive army of like ghost monsters.
Exactly. Yeah. Nobody expects Nocturnal.
Nobody expects the Spanish Nocturnal.
But yeah, so it's interesting because they could do more with that if they decide, because we get little bits of this over time, and that's how the series has unfolded for a ridiculous amount of time at this point, literal decades. In fact, ESO is almost a decade itself next year, so
that's crazy.
Time's horrifying. But yeah, it's I'd be curious to see if they explain any more of some of these creatures as their background or how they are created, other than this is the thing. It's this, like, oh, that's horrible.
Yeah, like, and some of it is like, you don't want to ruin it with an explanation, right? Like, well, some of it you want to leave mysterious, but some of it like to have a little bit more to chew on, or a little bit more something that gives you even more questions than where you were before.
Sure. The most controversial. Do you really want to know what happened to the Dwemer?
Right.
Do you?
Right. Same kind of thing. It's like, we don't really want to know. Like, right, I mean, we do.
But
as soon as you find out, you're like,
absolutely be like screaming at that.
Right. Oh, well, that's not as cool as I thought it was. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, those are our Daedric creatures for today. Thank you for tuning in, everybody. Lotus, I know you've got other stuff. You've got update 40 for ESO. Got announced today with all the stuff coming. I'm sure you're talking about that.
Yeah, we did. We actually released the last episode of Tales like 3 days ago, and then we're recording another one in like 2 more days. So there's a lot happening there, and we covered Gamescom because Ark was actually there, so he was able to kind of give some behind the scenes stuff that was a lot of fun. And we've got new news for The Elder Scrolls Online with our Q4. We had the live stream earlier today discussing all of that. We'll go into a deeper dive on Tales of Tamriel with that, as well as we are going to do something kind of unusual with the next show, where we're going to review Starfield.
Okay.
From the perspective of what do we want to see carry over and what do we not want to see carry over into Elder Scrolls 6.
Okay, so kind of like our discussion, but so like we had way more focused on where it's going. Yeah.
And now I've played a lot of that, and we're not going to turn this into a Starfield cast by any means, nor the unofficial Elder Scrolls Tales of Tamriel, which has nothing to do with Starfield, although they do have a Starfield wiki. The idea is Bethesda games always kind of give you a little taste of what's coming and what they're working on, and then it gets its footing in the next game.
Right.
And I've now played a decent amount of Starfield, and I like Starfield quite a bit. I like it more in some regards that I did not expect to like it in, like the aesthetic, because I'm not a sci-fi person. It turns out I actually really like the aesthetic to that game. Mm-hmm. And there are some other things that I've finally put my finger on why. Not that I don't like them, but without mods, I think Starfield will have one of the smallest longevities of any Elder or any Bethesda game I've ever played, which is interesting because of how big it is. Just because in regards to Elder Scrolls, it reminds me a lot of Arena and Daggerfall, where things are almost too big to have anything relevant happen in them.
It also, like, I see where you're going. I've had kind of a similar feeling in that with something like Skyrim, you have all of the previous games and all of that background already built out. So you don't have to build that stuff out. You can just make a game in that universe.
Right.
It feels very much like it's a great game. It feels the first of a new IP, which going to lay the groundwork for not only the DLCs, which I'm sure are going to be interesting in very specific ways, but also the sequel is going to have all of that groundwork now already built in. And then the universe is going to feel more full and interesting, especially from a lore perspective.
100%.
Yeah. So I'm getting the same kind of vibe with that. Yep. It's totally enjoyable. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm having a ton of fun with it.
But we're used to Fallout 3 and 4 and Skyrim and all of these games that come from a world that's already been like decades in the making.
Yeah, so that's going to be our next thing, because obviously we always cover the news much more heavily on that show, but we're going to turn it into a nice discussion on Bethesda as a whole, because I think we've seen some very interesting bits. I'm very excited that I hope they carry over into the Elder Scrolls 6.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing that. That's awesome. Yeah. And of course, my shows are all over the place, but lots of different topics, mostly Bethesda. So we've got this show, Fault Lorecast, the Starfield Lorecast, if you're playing that.
Starfield Lorecast, Lord of the Rings. I am now 100% through that entire series. So make more episodes for me, please.
Well, we just recorded one today, so it'll be out tomorrow. So, but lots of stuff to listen to. RobotsRadio.net for all of our shows and a bunch of other stuff that I think you'll probably love. So go check that stuff out. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being here, chat, and have a wonderful rest of your night, of your week, whatever, and stay safe out there with all those crazy giant bugs and ghost spirits and things. We'll see you next time.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks for joining us. We'd love to hear from you. You can reach me on Twitter at robots_radio or Lotus of Doom at Lotus of Doom. Also, you can join us on the Robots Radio Discord channel. You can easily just search Robots Radio Discord on Google or check the description underneath the podcast. Also, this podcast is recorded live every week on Thursday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on the Robots Radio channels on Twitch, YouTube, and on Facebook. So just search Robots Radio on any of those platforms. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you while we record the show, or before or after. Either way, just come hang out with us. And if you're looking for more information about my shows and the shows on the Robots Radio Network, go to robotsradio.net for all the information about all the shows on the network, including the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where I help both new and existing podcasters to grow their shows, build their audiences, and create the best podcast they possibly can. All of that at robotsradio.net. We'll see you next time.